This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, March 25th, 2017, The Annunciation of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Generally, I will approach subjects, scripture, and try to tease out some things maybe with which we are not familiar. Today, I want to talk in a different context. The context, particularly in how we relate to the Annunciation, and we do indeed relate to the Annunciation. We actually participate in the Annunciation. I beg that you make scripture so real in your life that everything that you read in there, you kind of run it through your mind as to how does this apply to me? What does this mean as far as the way I live my Catholic life? Every mystery of our Lord has to do with you personally. It has to do with your participation in your faith. Hence that practical Catholicism of which I speak so often. The Annunciation is no different. This is not a Sunday school lesson about something that happened to Mary so long ago, period. It's how does this play out in my life, your participation with the Annunciation. The Annunciation is like many aspects of our faith. It is mysterious. It is not when the angel Gabriel came down and met with Mary and gave her the announcement of our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts way, way, way before that. It starts in the garden. It starts immediately after the fall when God looks at Satan, who has taken advantage of the weakness of God's creation in mankind, and they abuse their free will. God condemns the serpent, and the first thing he says is that the seed of the woman will crush your head. That is the seedbed of the Annunciation. That is the seedbed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the beginning of the mystery of our salvation, because even Satan, in all his fallen state of glory, made just under God, even Satan, I'm sure, did not get what our Lord was saying when he prophesied that, God doesn't prophesy, he promises, that Satan would have his head crushed by the seed of the woman. He didn't know what was going on. I'm sure Adam and Eve, in their fallen state now, they didn't get it. You know, they look there, well, is he talking about you having a child? And he's going to overcome some, you know, how's this going to work out? It's mysterious. Guess what? It doesn't happen for centuries, millennia, actually. It doesn't come to fullness. It gets played out through salvation history and the proclamation of our salvation as it goes through the prophets. For instance, the first reading today from Isaiah chapter 7. You know, ask a sign of the Lord. I'm not asking any sign. I'm not tempting the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. He's going to give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. The plot of the mystery thickens. It's just not this promise that Satan's going to have his head crushed by some descendant of Eve. He goes on to say that a virgin is going to conceive. This one who is going to crush her head is going to be miraculously placed into the world. And not only that, you will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. This is not going to be some prophet. This is not going to be some teacher. You are going to have your head crushed, Satan, by God Almighty himself, who is going to come into this world. But just like Adam and Eve, and the serpent didn't get it in the garden. Isaiah didn't put two and two together. How is this going to happen? You know, talking about some king that's going to come down, because that is a Jewish interpretation of that particular verse. It's going to be some king. What's it going to be? You know, God with us, just a representation? No. God in all his fullness. And in the fullness of time, the angel Gabriel does come and announce to the Blessed Virgin Mary that she is going to bear the Son of God, the Holy One that is within your womb after the overshadowing of this Holy Ghost and the power of God coming upon you, is going to be called holy, the Son of God. Not son as in descendant, but son as the same in essence. You are going to be the portal through which God is going to leave heaven and come into this world. Well, in the fullness of time, well, it finally happened. Everybody finally gets it. The Blessed Virgin didn't get it. The Blessed Virgin says, how will this be? I don't even have a husband. Notice she doesn't say, how can this be? She's a woman of faith. She's immaculate. She doesn't question as to whether or not this can happen. She says, how will this go? Tremendous difference. How can this happen? How will this happen? It shows her faith. God doesn't give her the intricacies. He doesn't give her the details aside from the Holy Spirit is going to, well, you know, okay, how is that? We don't get details. She doesn't get details. Her response, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's an awful bold thing to do for her. Awful bold thing when she didn't know what that was going to be, what that was going to entail. She just gave herself completely over to God. She didn't fully get it. And she lived her whole life with the Savior of the world and pondered things in her heart, kept things in her heart, thinking about them. How are these things playing out? Until she actually got to see them play out in the cross. As I said, the story doesn't stop with Mary. It continues with us. Here, the prayer over the offerings today says in part, we beseech thee, O God, to establish in our hearts the mysteries of the true religion. Establish in our hearts these mysteries, because the mystery is continually being played out. It didn't stop with Mary. It has to do directly with each and every one of us. We, in our Catholic lives, are to live the Annunciation. That does not make us equal with Mary. But we have our part to play, just like her. And it's kind of interesting because a lot of the things that were said to Mary that were for her in all their fullness are for us in part, because we are not immaculate, but they apply to us nonetheless. Hail, full of grace. Hail, highly favored. You have found favor with God. It is a very nice day outside. Tremendously nice day. Why are you here? Why are you in here? Because God has showed his grace to you. For what, even if it was just you were invited, or even if you're a young one and you have to come, because mom and dad says you have to come, that is God's grace. You've been given good parents that make you come to church. We are here because of God's grace. What was stated to Mary applies to us. We are full of grace. We are highly favored just by the sheer fact that we are here. Our response should be just like Mary's, probably even more so because we're not immaculate, and that was she. We should be a little troubled about this. We should be a little bit troubled about being shown the grace of God and having something expected of us. Not just expected, but demanded of us to live this Catholic life. We should be troubled. And guess what? Don't feel bad about asking the questions, as long as you ask them correctly, As I said, our Blessed Mother didn't say, how can this happen? We don't sit back and say, how can that be that I have to do something for God? I just go to church on Sundays, Saturdays, whatever. Okay. How can that be? It's not a matter of can. It's how will this be? How will this be played out in my life? How will God use me? We can have all kind of ideas as to how that may be. But guess what? He's not us. We're not him. We have to understand that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He does not work on our time schedule. So we have to appreciate giving ourselves over to him just like the Blessed Mother did by our fiat. Be it unto me according to thy word, being obedient to God's will. That is our imperative. And I don't just mean doing the do's this and don't do that. It's a matter of living an entire Catholic faith. The Blessed Virgin Mary did it. We are expected to do it. You know, it can sound sort of ethereal, but if you really look at it, there are some very, very practical manifestations of our fiat. Look how it panned out for the Blessed Virgin. For the Blessed Virgin, she hears the Annunciation, and she brings forth the Savior of the world, God incarnate, second person of the Divine Trinity, eternal God, decides in the fullness of time to intrude into this world, to clothe himself with flesh. Our Blessed Mother, through her fiat, brought forth the Blessed Savior in all his fullness. In the church, priests, they receive a call, an annunciation, an announcement. They hear God's call, and they give themselves over to the church and all their being, or should. Priests, just like the Blessed Mother, receive an annunciation, and through their fiat, dealing with everything that they have to deal with in preparation for the priesthood, it culminates in just as she brought forth the Savior of the world in flesh, so the priests, when they give their fiat to the annunciation of the vocation of our Lord, they bring forth our Lord Jesus Christ every time they celebrate Mass. They offer that holy sacrifice of the Mass, and they bring forth our Lord Jesus Christ sacramentally. Under the forms of bread and wine, they bring forth Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Actually, is it really a lesser way? Theologically and sacramentally debatable, because our Lord Jesus Christ is the same under the forms of bread and wine as he was under the form of flesh. The same body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ that walked the face of the planet, that our Blessed Mother held in Bethlehem, who hung on the cross, is the same body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ that we will receive in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar if we are so predisposed, properly predisposed. So we see the Annunciation played out every time we come to Mass. It doesn't stop with the priests. You receive our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and you have received his word. That is an annunciation also. You have been called to the vocation of the lay state. You have been called to the vocation of the married life. And yes, they are vocations. That's where God in his will wants you. You have given your fiat, and that is proven, or should be, by the fact that you're here. That is your fiat, that you came in here on a nice Saturday afternoon, when you could be elsewhere. You bring forth our Lord Jesus Christ, just like priests don't bring him in quite the fullness that our Blessed Mother did. You bring him forth not quite in the fullness of the Eucharist, but nonetheless, you do a whole lot more in bringing him forth to people who need him most, those people who don't know. Priests provide our Lord body, blood, soul, and divinity to believers, people that have given their fiat already. You are to go out and talk to those who have not given their fiat. It's a demand on your life. It's a command. The Annunciation has been made to you. You, through your fiat, your presence here, have accepted, and you have said, in so many words, by your presence, be it unto me according to thy word. Well, his word is, go forth and teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do all that I have commanded you. That's not for priests and deacons and bishops. That's for everyone. It's for everyone, and it's because of your fiat. Whether you like it or not, through your baptism, your confirmation, and just the sheer fact of your presence here, you have given your fiat. You need to act upon it. The Annunciation isn't a Bible story that is about Mary, period. It is about Mary. It is about the Mass. It is about your vocation to evangelize this world. We participate in the Annunciation. We participate in it, and we must act accordingly. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.